Welcome to the After Business School Special, a show about what business professionals, industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and more have learned since finishing their business degree. Learning continues well beyond the classroom, so join us in becoming a lifelong learner by enrolling in the After Business School Special.
So thank you for being here today, Mackenzie. You're on the other side, a guest today instead of podcast host, so a nice little switch up for you.
I know. It's actually really fun to be a guest. I don't know. I feel like I have like the pressure's off. Mm-hmm. And when you're hosting, you got to keep the ball rolling. And now I just get to enjoy.
Yeah, of course. It's great to have you. I was like, oh yeah, hosting. This will be like so fun. It's great. Like everyone just talks about their story. They're interesting. I'm like, oh wait, I'm part of it too.
So true, isn't it?
So I usually start episodes by asking what a typical day looks like in your current job. But with you, I want to take a step back to talk about your first entrepreneurial business venture, which was 252 Boutique. 252 was an award-winning luxury goods fashion boutique that opened in 2014. Can you begin by telling me about the boutique and how you came to decide to open this venture?
Yeah, for sure. So, of course, I am an Edwards alumni, which at that time it was the College of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So I went to university and I started out in the workforce. I was a sales rep. I worked at Sasktel. I worked for Hershey Chocolate. I had some really fun jobs, but I really enjoyed them. But they weren't my passion per se. And I think like a lot of people, I did have a life kind of changing moment when my mom passed away. And when something like that happens, you really get that feeling of life is short. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. People are like, life is short, do what you love. And at that point in time, I had been out of university for 8 or 9 years. And I had the university knowledge and then the hands-on kind of practical side of sales. And I love shopping. And I'm like, how can I make shopping a career? Well, living in Saskatoon is a little hard to do that. So I knew that I could make what I loved into a job, which was a boutique. And I really strive to make it not just a store, but a shopping experience, which at that time I kind of felt like we didn't really have a lot of experience boutiques. And so I just one day was like, I'm going to do this. And that's how it started. And it was very fast from when I decided I wanted to do it till when I opened was less than a year. So oh, wow. It happened really quick after that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went and like sourced materials. Did you go to some like fancy boutiques in New York and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I love traveling and I'd always traveled. And when I traveled, shopping was a big part of that. Mm-hmm. So I had been shopping in New York and LA, Paris, London, like all these big fashion cities. And so I kind of took experiences from stores I liked there. And then when I decided, okay, I'm doing it, that was in the fall of 2013 that I, you know, got my financing and secured a lease and those things. And then the February of 2014, I went to New York to my very first buying show. So I got to see the whole other side of it, of course, never being there. But I went there and ordered all of the clothes and shoes and handbags and jewelry and everything that I would carry. And then I opened at the end of August.
Oh, that's so fun. That would be just great being like, oh, I'm going shopping in New York at a show, but it's for work. So yeah, that's very fun.
It was fun. Really fun.
Just getting to unbox everything and set the store up was just very exciting, mostly if you love shopping.
Yeah, honestly, it was like Christmas every day. Mm-hmm. And I actually started getting product before my store was finished. So it would come to my house and I would be like opening. It's like you're online shopping, but you're opening 20 boxes of stuff, yeah. Not just one. So yeah, it was really a cool experience.
Yeah, that's great. And definitely, I feel like this was really the first, yeah, like you said, boutique in Saskatoon that was selling these high-end goods. I'm sure there's other, but not specific on high-end goods in Saskatoon.
Yeah, and we really wanted that experience of mm-hmm. like big city shopping. And so we did lots of like shopping parties and private shopping and things that most of the other stores weren't really doing. And I think people really appreciated that. And it was a kind of a fresh thing in Saskatoon at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you've mentioned in the past that you come from a family of entrepreneurs. So was entrepreneurship something you always kind of considered as a career path, or did you find it along the way?
You know what? I was always the kid that was like making keychains and selling them and like doing things like that. But I don't actually think I knew that being an entrepreneur was a job per se. And so I went to the College of Commerce to be an accountant. That's what I set out to do. I took my first year of accounting and quickly realized, no, this is not what I want to do. I actually really love the marketing and the HR classes. And so I kind of went in that direction instead. But at that time, this was like late 90s, I didn't really think about being an entrepreneur. I think it was in me, but it wasn't like, I'm going to have my own business one day. And then I entered the workforce. I really excelled at my positions and I really liked the companies I worked for. But I think there was something in me that just knew that I had kind of another direction to go. My parents, obviously being entrepreneurs, my dad was in agriculture, but he also started his own consulting firm and he sold satellite dishes in like the 80s when that was a thing. And I think really seeing my parents' lifestyle, I really liked that. Like they were able to come to all of our sporting events and we got to go on holidays. And so I think in me, I thought, hey, if I work for myself, I can create this same lifestyle that I had growing up, which really kind of pushed me into that direction.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so growing up around entrepreneurs, do you think other than like working for yourself, that type of thing, has it changed or like shaped your entrepreneurial journey at all and how you take on those challenges?
Yeah, for sure. Because I saw my parents doing it. And so I think, like I said, I didn't really realize that I could be an entrepreneur. But I think just growing up in that where your parents work for themselves and created their own success, I think that really was a influence on me and I didn't probably even know it.
Yeah, and it's very inspiring to see.
Yeah, for sure.
So with entrepreneurs, one of the biggest challenges I think we can all agree on that they face is scaling a business. You always hear about if you can't scale in the first 5 years, then like that's the make or break. So from an outside perspective, it looks like scaling for 252 happened with relative ease. Was that the case or how was the actual scaling process of 252?
Well, I'm glad that it looked easy because no, it was extremely hard. I think that I was a little naive with the growth and scaling part because you think, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm doing really good. And to be completely transparent, my first year of business, all I thought about was if I can pay my bills, I've made it. So as long as I can still pay my mortgage and I can pay my staff and my lease, then I'm okay. I didn't set out in the first year to like make all this profit because I was smart enough to know it wasn't going to be easy and I didn't really know. But my first year, I actually sold more than I thought I would. So that was a success. I got called after about 6 months of being opened. I got called by a real estate developer in Regina saying they wanted me to open a store there. And I said, absolutely not. I've only been in business for 6 months. Like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. But I said, call me back in a year. And they actually did call me back. It was a little more than a year, but I did expand into Regina. So I had my store in Saskatoon for about 3 years when I opened the Regina store. And it was not easy. I'll just say it was very exciting. And I did grow really fast, but it was a lot of behind the scenes work that I don't think people really understand if they're not in the business world. It's just a whole new set of staff and a new set of clients and two businesses to run. And I was very fortunate to have an awesome manager in Regina that actually worked in my Saskatoon store and moved there. So that really helped me. But it was really difficult. There was lots of new challenges that arose with having two spots that I don't think I even thought could happen, but they did. And, you know, you work through them and you figure things out, right? As a business owner, all you do all day long is solve problems. And so you solve that problem and continue on. So it wasn't easy, but it was definitely a great experience that I think every entrepreneur will go through at some point. And maybe that's in a second location. Maybe that's just the growth of their one location or one business. But yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, I bet. But yeah, it did look like you managed it very well. And even like expanding into Regina, but even like small things, small, I say in quotations, things like adding more product lines and just expanding like your offerings and then like hosting parties and all those types of things, like just scaling in that way is already so much than adding another location. It's a lot to balance, but...
Yeah. Well, and I really took a lot of feedback from my clients, which I think is really important. So yeah, you're right. Just, I brought in lines that I thought would sell well in Saskatoon when I first opened. And then you talk to your clients, you're like, well, what lines do you like that you can't get here? And they're like, oh, I really like this. So then I would go and investigate and look into that brand and do I think it would work? What's the price point? Who do I think would buy it? Right. There's just a lot of research involved, but that was also fun.
Yeah,
because then you are like learning more and you're bringing in new things that people are interested in. So it was a lot of hard work, but it was also really rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really putting that marketing knowledge to use.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of data management, but yeah, that'd definitely be fun. So thinking back to that time, like 2014, 2015, if you were to offer yourself or somebody in that same position that you were in at that time, like one piece of advice or... some guidance, what would it be?
Yeah, I have two things that I always tell people. The first thing is you cannot do everything by yourself. So get help, ask for help, whether that's advice, whether that's hiring someone, you know, to do your books or things like that. But you are one person and you can't do it all. And at the beginning, I sure tried to do it all. I always say I was the accountant, the janitor, the salesperson, the scheduler, the cleaner, like I did it as much as I could. But you can quickly get overwhelmed by that. Mm-hmm. And kind of going to my next thing is knowing what you don't know. And that's kind of a really like catch-all, but figuring out what you don't know and then either hiring someone to do it or learning how to do it, I think is really important because you're one person, you can't do everything, and it's okay to ask for help. I think if we step into this entrepreneurial world, we're like, well, now I have to know everything and I have to do everything, but that actually won't really help you out. It's better off the things that you don't know. If you can't learn them, like I'm not going to learn taxes and tax law, so I just pay somebody, I pay an accountant to figure that out for me, right? But if it's something I could do by myself, I learned it and then I did it, right? And as I grew, then I was fortunate to have staff where I'm like, oh, you're really good at social media, I'm gonna get you to do it, right? Oh, you're really good at doing the displays and the like making the mannequins look good, that's not your job. So I could really pass off things to my team that they were good at, and then it took the pressure off of me.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And one that all advice that entrepreneurs should listen to, but just everybody, like focus on your wheelhouse, know what you're good at, and don't spread yourself too thin.
Exactly.
I always say the same thing. I'm never going to be an accountant. I'm never going to understand finance. So why? Why spend the time? Put your effort elsewhere. So yeah, that's great advice. So with scaling being probably one of the hardest challenges entrepreneurs face, I think it's safe to say that the ability to pivot is one of the greatest skills an entrepreneur can possess. And you've kind of talked about pivoting and seeing, like understanding your market and asking people and collecting data in that way. So kind of chatted about pivoting, but was there ever like a time that you can talk about that you had to pivot? I know like the pandemic shutting down in-person shopping would have been a big one, but how did you kind of take on those pivots, and any advice for making pivoting a little bit easier for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, for sure. So of course, COVID happened and I own a physical clothing store, and I did have an online store at that time, but it was, I didn't have everything on there. It was kind of there so people could see things, and we did get sales, but it was not our primary business by any means. Of course, COVID happens and the government tells you you're going to be shut down for 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, 2 weeks, I'm shut down. Okay. I can use this time to really make my online store fantastic because I'm literally going to be at home for 2 weeks. I can't go anywhere. So I took that 2 weeks and I redid my online store, changed platforms. Like it was a big process, but I had the time to do that. Of course, that 2 weeks turned into about 3 months that I couldn't be open. So that's when I got creative. I was on social media multiple times a day. I was doing sales. I was doing free drop off and delivery, basically anything that I could do to keep people shopping, because clearly I didn't have an income. I needed a way to make money there. And that really taught me a big lesson. And that lesson is to kind of never be comfortable where you're at, because things are going to change. And that might probably not ever be a pandemic again, but you really need to look for opportunities and be watching for them. And when you don't ever kind of change, or you don't ever make adjustments, it's not that you have to make a huge change. But if you don't ever do that, you're kind of going to get stagnant and your business will suffer. So I would say for sure, just always look for those opportunities to do something. For me, it was to make my online store better. But things like that you can really improve on to make a better experience for your customers, to make it more efficient for you and your staff, whatever it is. But watch for those opportunities and then take them when they're there for you. Because that COVID was an opportunity for me. As crazy as it sounds, it actually helped my business out a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Not to pivot just in response to something, but to pivot to make your business better. So it's not always like a putting out fires, but finding a way to build better. So yeah, that's really great advice. So what key lessons have you learned from pivoting and the ability to make decisions as they come?
Yeah, I think for sure, like, change is scary. And just know that for everybody, change is scary. Like, it doesn't matter if you're just starting out or you've been in business for many years. It is, the unknown is a really hard thing to deal with. But change is also okay. And change can help you. And sometimes, you know, something like you say bad will happen, or COVID happened. And the first thing that we think of is negative. But when I look back now, that really helped my business. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about what happened to my business, but that helped my business in the future. And at that time, it seemed kind of devastating to close, but working on my online store and building up that presence within Canada really was a blessing for me. So it's okay to face change and to, you know, progress with it. And like I said, you just can't stay the same. If you want to really succeed, you need to evolve and adapt to things. So it's okay to do, and it's okay to change things and modify and grow. And that's a really good part of business too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then talking about what happened with 252. So you did eventually sell the boutique, and it's now run solely online by another Edwards alumni. So they operate out of Vancouver. So how did you come to the decision to sell?
So lots of people are like, oh, COVID, and then wanted to change, whatever. Well, yeah, but really I got married. And so I had a store in Saskatoon. I had a store in Regina, and my husband and his son lived in Swiftcurrent, which is actually where I live now. So I live in Swiftcurrent now. But I called it the Bermuda Triangle, because I just drove from Saskatoon to Regina to Swiftcurrent, and Swiftcurrent to Regina, and then back to Saskatoon. And I kind of did this little triangle. And once I knew I was getting married, I really realized I cannot do this once I'm married and have a stepson and want to have a life with them. So I already, even before COVID, I already knew that I needed an exit strategy. Which lots of people talk about. What is it, right? For some people it's selling, for some people it's closing. So I knew I had a business that I could sell. And so I actually started in, before the pandemic even happened, looking to sell my stores. So looking to sell them as physical stores. And of course, when COVID happened, that was going to be really hard to do, because not many people were going to buy stores that had to be closed and reopened and rebuilt and everything else. And so I started looking at other ideas, and I actually was very fortunate enough in both of my stores to have other businesses assume my leases. So I actually had that in the works before I even got married, but I had a bridal store in Regina and another store in Saskatoon that took my lease over, bought lots of my mannequins and hangers and all those things. So I kind of signed a paper one day and left, which was really kind of crazy to me. I never thought I would do that, but I knew my life with my family was where I had to be. And then I decided to go to an online exclusive platform. So I thought I'll keep my store, but I'll just be online, and I will just literally run it out of my office where I'm in today, recording. And so I had the online boutique for about a year and a half. And it wasn't the same as my stores. And I really still love doing it, because I love fashion. I love doing all the try on videos and suggesting to people what they should get and whatnot. But kind of the heart and soul of my store was the interaction with my clients. And when I was just online, I didn't really have that as much anymore. You get messages from people, but not that kind of face-to-face. And so I didn't want to get to a point where my store was just a job for me. I didn't want to get there. And I knew it had value. And that's when I decided then to sell also the online store. So okay. I did sell the online store to Piper Clark, and she's currently the owner and running it and doing great. Mm-hmm. And it was a really difficult decision, but I also knew that it's just what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that it's probably pretty hard to make that decision when you started something, then grew it up and have to eventually sell it. But are you still involved at all with 252?
Yeah, so Piper is the complete owner now. I do always, I'm an open book to Piper. So mm-hmm. I'm like, anytime you need help, forever. Like, I want her to succeed. And you're right, it's really hard. It's like having a baby and then giving it to somebody else.
I bet.
Because you like made that, created yeah. that. That was your vision and dream. But Piper was the exact right person mm-hmm. to buy it. And she's making it her own now. So I'm here for her whenever she needs. We text, we chat on the phone. I really want her to do well. So I'm happy to give her help and advice. And she's really smart too. Like she probably is doing better at the online than I even did. That a little younger generation and stuff. But yeah, it's actually now really exciting for me to watch her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to take your baby and then grow it in different ways. So yeah, that's very exciting. And very exciting that you're still involved and have a great relationship. So that's awesome. So your experience with 252 was all-encompassing. You're a full-circle entrepreneur, going from starting to scaling to pivoting, winning awards, expanding, and then eventually selling. So you gained a lot of experience through that process. Has that helped you in your new ventures that you're working on?
Oh, 100%. Literally everything that I learned there, I've taken on, and now I can share it with other people, which for me is really important, is that giving back to the community and giving back to people and helping other people, because a lot of the lessons you learn are really hard and you go through some really bad times to learn that stuff. So my thought is, if I can pass on that info to someone else and they don't have to go through that same stress that I did, then we're all winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So talking about what you're doing now, it's a lot. You're doing lots. You're never going to quit that entrepreneurial spirit of wanting to take on so many things. So let's chat about what you've been up to since selling 252. So after selling, you started working at Salon Scale and are still currently with them. How did you get involved with Salon Scale, and how did you choose to go from entrepreneur to back to more of a formal role within a company?
Yeah, so I actually started working for Salon Scale in 2020. So I still had my stores. My friend started Salon Scale. Mm-hmm. And so I had literally the only thing I knew about the beauty or hair industry was that I went and got my hair done. Like I didn't know any of the backstory or anything. But when she was starting Salon Scale, she was telling me basically about the industry and how it works and pricing and all this stuff. And I knew she was really onto something. Mm-hmm. And so of course, when COVID hit, all hair salons are closed too, right? So she had to go through a lot what I did, laying off your staff, not knowing when they're coming back, all of those things. So in the fall of 2020, when things were kind of back and running, she said, oh, I need somebody to do this and do that and do this at Salon Scale. And I was like, I could do it for you. Like, just hire me kind of part-time, casual, whatever. I'll help you out. Plus for me, my store was quiet, right? Because people weren't shopping as much and doing that much. So for me, it was kind of an extra income thing, right? And it helped her out. So that's how I started. Then when I moved to Swift Current, so after I sold my stores and moved here, I actually started then full-time with Salon Scale. So now I'm the head of customer success. So it's really customer service and sales, which is kind of my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that I did at my store, I do with Salon Scale too. So, mm-hmm. right? So really making sure that our customers are happy and solving any problems that they have, and how can we increase sales and all of those things. So it's really taken my knowledge from what I learned being an entrepreneur, and now I'm doing it with them.
Yeah, which is great to be involved with another startup. So again, helping a company scale and grow in salon scale is so interesting. So
yeah,
great company.
If you don't know about it, Google it and learn, because it's really, it's changing the industry for sure.
Oh yeah, it's a unicorn for sure. That's, I didn't know anything about the hair industry, but when I heard about it, I was like, oh wow, yeah, that is a good idea.
Exactly.
Awesome. So you're working your traditional job now, but gotta, like I said, keep that entrepreneurial spirit of doing lots and lots of things all at once. So talking podcast, you are also a host of a podcast, hashtag winning.
Yes.
So where did this idea to start a podcast come from? And has it been something you kind of had on your mind for a long time, or did it just come out of a spark?
Nope. Didn't even think about it, actually, to be completely honest. I always got so many questions from people. They're like, I want to start something. What do I do? Who do I talk to? How do I do this? What do I do about this? And so I would always just help people because that's kind of in my nature of giving back. And then I realized I can help a lot of people by doing really similar to what we're doing right now. It's just having guests on and talking, right? We pick a topic and we discuss it and we kind of talk about our, I'll say failures, which I don't really think are failures, are more like lessons, but we are really, it's really a casual conversation between two people. And we talk about things that kind of nobody really talks about, how it is hard and how you can overcome it and things that people did that really worked and things that people did that really didn't work. But it's a way, like, we have worldwide listeners, which is really cool. I never thought that would happen. But yeah, one day I was sitting in my office here and I was literally replying to like a DM from someone asking me a question. And I'm like, why don't I just do this on a big scale?
Yeah.
So I Googled, and within like 6 weeks, I think I launched my first episode. So it was kind of like my story. It was kind of fast and furious, as I say. But I love it. And it's now my passion project. And it's really brought me not only joy, but like I'm even learning more as I'm doing it, because I'm learning from all these people I have on, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's definitely, learning from failures is like the best way to learn, because you can hear about everything people do right and it's great, but you're not going to really get any learning from that. So yeah, hearing what goes wrong is much more relatable and more applicable to being able to apply to your own life. So that's great. So yeah, probably you have a lot of experience, like you said, talking to people about businesses. So when you were first starting 252, did you have people kind of doing that for you? Like, were you able to reach out to other entrepreneurs and ask business questions and bounce things off?
Yeah, for sure. I was very fortunate because I came from that family of entrepreneurs. So my dad was a huge influence on me. I asked my dad, I literally phoned my dad every day. What should I do about this? What do you think about this? And my family. And then I had a really great network of friends that were also in business. So some of them I knew before, but really most of them I learned through the business community. So going to events and listening to people speak and kind of forming that relationship with them. And then I'd ask them too. And that, I think a lot of people, especially when they first start out, don't have that. And they're really, I mean, if your family's an entrepreneur, you're not asking your dad like I did, right?
Yeah.
If you're starting out, especially now when lots of things are virtual and you're maybe sitting in an office, you don't have that network, it's harder to learn, right? So things like podcasts and honestly, Google, like these things, you find a lot of info. But yes, I got so much information and so much help from people when I first started. I can't even begin to thank them, because it would be, it's kind of a, it's a forever thankful list, but definitely got lots of help.
Has it come full circle yet where you have had a podcast guest who you back in the day asked for advice when you were first starting?
Oh yeah, like half of them.
Yeah.
Especially when you first started the podcast, because you ask your friends, hey, like, you have my podcast? They're like, what? You have a podcast? I'm like, yeah, I'm just starting. Will you be on? They're like, sure. And of course, that's part of it, right? They're like, yeah, I'll help, because that's going to help somebody else. And that's
exactly
that kind of giving back wheel. So 100%. My dad was my first.
Oh, really?
Guest, yeah. And then my handful of friends that really were the ones that helped me when I first started. So
That's what I was going to ask, if your dad was a guest yet. So that's great.
He's been a guest. And then a couple of episodes, he actually interviewed me.
Oh, I love that.
Kind of fun. So yeah, full circle of dad there.
That's so great. So with the podcast, like, it's offering a lot of advice, but you also do it more on a smaller scale. If somebody wants to learn more about, like, a specific problem that they're facing, you do consulting work. So that's also something new that you've started. So how did you just, like, find yourself doing consulting work? Or was it, like, throughout your business process, you're like, that's a route that I want to take?
Once again, not planned. Started because people were asking me for help. And then, having the business mind that I have, I thought, I should be charging for this.
Yes.
There's a part of you that wants to just give the advice and not, but then the same part of you is, I've got a lot of valuable information. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have two avenues now. If you want kind of general information, you can listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you want a little bit more in-depth information, or you want help with your business plan, or you want to know, where do I go for financing? Like, all of these things that I've been through, now I'll help people one-on-one. To really help them. And of course, then it is more of a coaching business, really, because there is a transaction of money.
Yeah.
But I haven't even really advertised that I do it, which mm-hmm. will come. I will get a website. I will, you know, have more info. But as you said, I do a lot of things. And so right now, I'm kind of okay with not advertising it. Of mm-hmm. course, people are listening and they can message me. I love doing it. Really, I love doing it mm-hmm. because it does help other people. And that's really important to me. But yeah, business plans and different advice, even marketing and HR, all of that stuff. I have a lot of info, and a lot of it, my university life, and then the hands-on experience, which I think really is, you know, what goes hand in hand and can help people. Most mm-hmm. people that are starting out as entrepreneurs don't have a commerce degree.
Yeah.
They didn't go to Edwards like us, right? So they don't, a lot of them don't know the basics of marketing or HR, and just helping them kind of figure out, okay, you need to do, you know, A, B, and C now and make a process for that now before you grow, because it's going to become a problem then. Mm-hmm. And I said before, figure out what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So asking somebody to help you, that's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the consulting is such a good natural evolution from the podcast. And yeah, this will be your soft launch right now. Soft launch of the consulting.
Look for a website coming. Yeah. I don't know when. Soon. But coming soon, yeah.
So just to list off everything, you have a full-time job, you host a podcast, you consult with entrepreneurs, you're on the board of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and are also involved with other community things. And you have two more adventures that are taking place this fall. So you're going back to school and you're becoming a published author. So first, to talk about school. So you already have a degree. You're very successful. Why did you decide to go back to school?
Yeah, so I am attending York University, starting actually next week. All online. So I'm not moving to Toronto or anything. It's all online. But I do really have the philosophy of never stop learning. And mm-hmm. if you don't know things, learn them, right? If you're capable of learning them, learn them. We have really great brains that can hold a lot of information. So my kind of theory is, it's never full. And I want to really be able, especially when I am helping people, I want to be knowledgeable in a lot of areas. I convocated 20 years ago, which I don't know how, because I feel like I'm 25, but so much has progressed in that time in digital marketing and content creation and all of these things that I did when I had my store, right? I was lots, social media was a huge thing, but I really want to know more about it. So I am going to York University. And we'll see how that goes. I haven't been a student in 20 years, so it's going to be a really interesting adventure for me, for sure. But I'm really excited to, and I'm excited to learn more about the industry that really right now is just going wild. So that's mm-hmm. exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, you're going to be a great student. I can already tell. But like, I convocated 3 years ago with a marketing degree, and I'm already thinking that I need a refresher, because the digital space and digital space around marketing and content creation just moves so fast that I think you just constantly be in school for that.
So. Yeah, I think so too. I'll get the actual basics now, not just what I've taught myself. I'll actually learn how to do it. And then we'll go from there for sure.
And then the website.
Yes. And then the website. The website, yeah, it'll come. It'll come.
Awesome. And then onto publishing. You're publishing a book, Conversations with Over Coffee, Volume 3. So did you ever think you were going to be a published author? Or was this something that you also just kind of fell into?
Nope. Never even thought about being an author. So I... So she started out as a client, Jana Dutton, who is the idea behind the book. So this is the third volume. And so she asked me, if I would like to be in this book. And I said, why would you ever ask me to be in a book? What? So that's kind of how it started. Never a dream. It was never, I never thought about it, to be honest with you, but it's happening.
That's so fun. So what was the process like?
Yeah. So Jana phoned me and said, do you want to, and I knew she had the book. I'd purchased it's digital and hard copy or soft copy, I guess, but I knew she had it because I had the books. And then when she said, I think you'd be a great person to be in the book. And I was like, what on earth would I ever talk about in a book for people? Like, I'm not that interesting. I don't know why you'd pick me. But it was such a cool experience when I sat down and I said, well, what do I write about? She's like, whatever you want. I'm like, oh my God. Like I had a long time, or it took me a long time to really figure out what do I want to say in this book. And so what I really talked about was my journey as an entrepreneur and then kind of the legacy that I want to leave to the world, because at some point in time, I'm not going to be here. So what are some things that I can pass on, really in that giving back mindset and spirit, that I can pass on to people that they can look back at and, you know, I'm still helping the world is maybe a good way to put it. But yeah, it was really a cool experience and I'm really excited for it to come out.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And definitely the beginning process would be hard. I know a blank page is very daunting. So
that's right. Yeah. Especially when it's write whatever you want. You're like, oh, geez, like give me a topic, right? So, but it was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah. Can we expect any other books from you in the future?
Well, once again, I have no idea. So I guess
maybe.
You know what? Who knows, right? Like, I feel like if the opportunity came up and it was right, of course I would jump on it. But awesome. I don't think I'm going to set out to do that. But I don't know. I don't know. Everything along my journey, I never really set out to do and I've done. So I guess we'll see.
Find it along the way, maybe. So, but if not, yeah, that's so great. So after starting and growing 252, you were a very successful award-winning business owner, entrepreneur, business leader, very involved with the community. So you've done a lot. And even if you were never to work in entrepreneurship again, I think you'd be remembered as a very good entrepreneur and be celebrated. So looking at your career so far, what has been the proudest moment?
Yeah, I think it's so hard because like most people think, oh, it's your awards you won, which of course, like, so proud of that. And I never sought out to win awards, but to win them and be validated was so cool. But I think the two things I'm most proud of, first of all, that I took a chance and that I did it, because honestly, most people don't, and they always just think about it and maybe dream is the word, but they don't actually do it. And then I think reflecting back on their life, they're like, I should have done that. And I did it. And it's opened so many doors for me and taking me down all these paths and met all these people that I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that could happen. And so that really is so like special to me. And then also now like sharing my experiences and giving back to people in the community. I'm very big on like philanthropy and helping other people. And I feel like the better that we all are, the better we all are. So that those two things that I had the courage to do it and that now I can really give back to people, those are what I'm like most proud of for sure.
Awesome. And then looking ahead, what are you most excited about?
Honestly, like opportunities, because I mean, 6 months ago, if you said, would you do a book, or 2 years ago, I'd be like, what the heck am I doing? Now I've done a chapter in a book. If you would have said you're going to be coaching people, I would have been like, what do I know to coach people? Now I'm coaching people. And I think it's just kind of that unknown, which I know for some people is scary, but for me, it's really exciting. And any opportunity that I have that I think is going to be good for me, I take it. That's my personality and that's kind of who I am. So I'm excited about what I don't know is out there for me.
That is just the perfect way to summarize your entire journey, is just taking opportunities as they come. Couldn't have said it better. So to sum up all of your, if you could sum up all your experiences, all your learnings, everything you've been involved with into one piece of advice, would it be taking chances, or what would it be, taking those opportunities?
I think kind of four things. First thing is take the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? Even if you don't succeed, even if you don't make it, you took the chance. And we're all scared of failure or scared that things aren't going to work out. But so what? Like, you're still alive. You're still here. So it didn't work out. Move to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Asking for help, right? Really getting that help. Like, it's not shameful to ask for help. Reach out to people. Pay somebody if you have to. Whatever you can do to get the help to make yourself further along. Of course, never stop learning. As I say, going back to school now, always learn the next thing. It's going to help your business. And if you don't know it, go back to ask for help, right? Hire somebody that can, and then give back to the community. So give back to the people around you that helped you, the people that need help, because that really is going to be, I think at the end of the day, the fact that you can make a difference for someone is really what you should be proud of.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So those are all my formal questions. Now turning the mic back to you into your host position. Is there anything that I missed or anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think just like as you go along your journey, just think about what you want your legacy to be. And and remember that it's not a failure, it's a lesson. And keep on keeping on. And sometimes it's really hard. There's days that you think, I can't do this anymore, but you can. And you really can. You have it in you to succeed. So go for it.
Awesome. So just for your last parting words, if you want to shout out your podcast, where we can find the book when it's coming out, and anything else that you want to point listeners in the direction to, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, of course, I'm on all the places, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Search my name. My name is Furby. So a lot of things, I still have Furby in there. Probably Instagram is the best place because I link to everything there. So my Instagram is at Mackenzie Furby Killshaw. And I've got my link to Winning there. So it goes to my Winning website. You can listen to the podcast there. You can listen to the podcast you can listen to it on Apple, Spotify, it's Amazon Music, it's everywhere. And send me a message. If you have questions or you want some private consulting, or you literally just want to say hello. Like, I'm such an open book. My Instagram's kind of boring. It's food and my stepson's baseball, basically. But I'm on there quite a bit. So that's probably the best place. And, you know, maybe a new website coming soon. I don't know.
Maybe.
When the book is launching in September of 2023. So soon here, I'm not sure when this is airing, but and then, of course, I'll have copies of my book. And you can buy a digital copy of the book, too, on Amazon. So just head over to my Instagram and everything will be linked there.
Awesome. And I'll put all those links in the show notes as well. So
awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. This is fun.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for being a guest. And hopefully talk soon the next time you have a bunch of things going on. We'll reconnect.
That would be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of our show. If you have a topic you want to hear discussed or someone you want to hear from, let us know. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate your feedback and support. See you next time on the After Business School Special.